I do prayer.
Oh. Please, God, don't flood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Welcome to the Committee on Appointments for today, Monday, September 19th, 2011. We're opening up in the presence of a quorum featuring Judy Myers, John Nona, and myself. John Testa is reported to be joining us shortly. Today is a day to discuss appointments to the Stormwater Advisory Board, and we're in a slightly awkward situation in that we have more qualified people than we have slots. Therefore, we will not be voting today on members. We will be interviewing potential members, and we will defer the vote until after we've interviewed everybody.
Who is everybody? Personal. We have four names.
We have
just four for today.
Oh.
We have, I think, a total of eight for five slots.
Okay.
So we will go through the process. Nothing personal. No offense taken, I'm sure. Our first up is a relatively unknown individual, but who is rumored to have much experience in matters of planning, Peter Eschweiler. And so I've already given away my initial question, which is, what the hell do you want to do this for? But actually, it's sort of relevant. You just celebrated your 56th wedding anniversary.
Right.
Don't you think it's time to, sort of kick back?
That's what my wife said on the way out the door.
Uh-oh.
I have to say to you, I had more fun in the 3 years that I was chairman of this task force than I've had in a long time, because I was doing something I know something about. I was working with a lot of wonderful people from all the other members of the board, and I was back in my old apartment dealing with old friends, and it was great. And besides which, you gave me a parking pass.
I was delighted to get it.
And it's still valid, perks. I found. So when we drafted the legislation, we purposely wrote it so that I can't be chairman. So that's sort of stepping back. And I'd be glad to serve if asked.
If asked, you will serve. As unchairman as it gets.
As unchairman as it gets.
Members, Ms. Myers.
I can only say extremely positive things, because I really enjoyed working with Peter. I think he was a huge force behind the flood action task force, with an abundant amount of energy and information and intelligence. And
he's blushing, Judy.
I know, but I really think, I mean, it would be a shame to reinvent the wheel when we have so much that we already did, and that's such great reconnaissance. It really is. And it would be a real waste of brain power to move to start anew. Enough said.
I've worked with Peter on so many committees and so many projects that... You know, I don't have any questions for him, and I just hope that he gets on this this advisory board, because so that this law can really be utilized, you know, and effectively. And with him on it, whether he's chair or not, I know we'll get a long way to getting things done. You know, I didn't realize, Peter, you were president of the New York Association of Counties for a year.
Yeah.
That's something I didn't know.
See, there you are.
I was a director for 4 years, and it was back in the Del Bello times. Mm. And Ed Crawford was the executive director there, former Broome County executive. And I said to Del Bello when I was nominated for president, I said, I intend, and I think I have to, spend one day a week in Albany working on NYSAC's thing. So I just want to let you know that I would do it with that kind of requirement. He said, blessing, do it.
I just got to say one more thing about Peter. When I first ran for office in Pleasantville, one of my platforms was to have some affordable housing built, especially for senior citizens. And we eventually got that done, and it wouldn't have been done if it weren't for Peter. We just wouldn't have gotten it done. And it's not only affordable housing, but it's affordable housing and our senior center, where there's programs, there's lunches every day, and it wouldn't have happened if it weren't for Peter.
Well. Ms. Chimpson.
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Please.
Thank you very much.
Anybody who will volunteer your time to come in here is a friend of ours.
Thank you very much. I just want to say that I'm absolutely thrilled that Peter has volunteered to serve on this. I also think it important that the various river basins think collaboratively, because we should have representation for each river basin on this committee. As we heard in the last meeting, the three of us attended today, the problems of the Sawmill River Basin are completely off the radar screen in the rest of the McCallion office building. We are the ones who know it and care about it. Mr. Eschweiler, bless his soul, lives in Pleasantville, so he knows, he lives these problems. He has a firm understanding of what's going on, not just from his experience and his expertise, but from having lived with them. And I think it's very important, as I said, that our river basin have a really strong representative on this board, and I'm glad that we've got someone so outstanding who stepped forward, and I sincerely hope that he'll be joining it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So, you're Mr. Sawmill River Basin.
I live in it.
Well, Mr. And Mr. Long Island Sound Watershed.
Well, I guess by virtue of residence, you get to...
I live on the hilltop.
Oh, you live on the hillside.
But you,
listen to
the neighbors complain all the time.
And he can't use a Sawmill Parkway either when it's
flooded. Yeah.
That's always true. All right, this is going to be fun. The people who are going to still be here on this board, which includes these three guys, are going to have a life. It will happen that way. Are going to have a really interesting time over the next couple of years trying to keep the administration focused on doing the sorts of things that I think we all understand, and it's going to be great to have the possibility of your being involved. So, like I say, we have more. I'm sure more qualified people than we're going to have slots that the board of legislators can put on, and we'll see what the administration does. We haven't seen those yet. But it's going to be good, and I really appreciate your being willing to take the time, even at your relatively advanced age of 56. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Dear.
Thanks.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
I really appreciate
bringing
it.
My watershed map. Just so we have it. It's one of my favorite pieces.
Okay.
Thank you all for your nice comments.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this.
It was also a big contribute for me. So.
I think, I'm not sure that this is the body that's going to sit down and make the decision on who the five people are. I think that's going to be made among the membership rather than just this committee. But I think we've got to consider ourselves that we're going to take the dominant discussion lead in this. And our question is going to be...
And we've got to cover all the watershed. I think
I think Mary Jane is right.
The lower Hudson River watershed. Mm.
Okay. But does that include the Bronx River too, or is the Bronx River separate from
the Bronx River watershed is a separate watershed.
Okay. Right.
See, this is... This is really important.
That's Algata's territory.
So, this is really important.
Well, who's your territory? Who's
Judy?
Who's on this list to be on the...
Almost doesn't matter.
Well, not to forget that the administration has got five people. Now, I don't know who they're going to be, but...
Robin Murphy.
Lisa Douglas.
But let's...
Probably my opponent.
We should withhold our decision-making process until we see who the administration has put up. And then either we backfill that, or if it's going to get weird, we're just going to put up strong people who can stop these guys. I mean, frankly, it depends. And I'm not going to prejudge the administration's point of view, but I think we need to look at our people, and some of the questions we need to ask is, frankly, could they give the time if this is going to get a little strange? And I think it's fairly clear that Peter can.
And Al Gatta can.
The other guy.
Well, Al's got a full-time job, and he does run a little
The other guy who has time, who's an older guy, but as far as I'm concerned, he's as sharp as a tack as Charlie Pound.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Because I'm dealing with him on the Miller House stuff.
He's brought such expertise to this. They all did. Tony Landy brought incredible. Part of the problem, too. He's on coming in today. Yeah, he's 90 something. I just gave him a cross. Yeah, he's 91, I think. 92. One of the things is the reason these commissioners.
Here he is.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
A chance to say hello to you out in the hallway. How are you?
It's good to see you.
Good to see you again. We're doing good.
All right.
For you know what, I'm doing okay.
Mary Jane?
No, I don't. Nice
to meet you.
Tony
Lane.
Pleased to meet you.
You never got to work with him.
I know.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah.
He is great.
He still is.
He's just
4 years.
What?
Retired.
It's been that long.
Yes.
Judy and I, when I first came on the board, Judy and I and Gordon Burroughs got a tour of the Yonkers Wastewater
Treatment Plant.
And all of
Gordon's many children.
And Gordon brought about 8 of his kids.
Yeah.
And it was terrific because, at least for me, I'm a sewer and water kind of guy. And Tony just had so much fun giving us this tour. And so it was terrific to have him. Okay. Tony, we are interviewing more qualified people than we have slots. So we are not going to be voting on this until we've interviewed everybody.
Then we're going to have a fun time
trying to sort this all out. The administration has 5 slots. We have 5 slots on this. So the lead-off question, I guess, therefore. Usually I say, why in the hell do you want to do this? But we know the answer to that part because you're good at it. But do you see any reason why you would be precluded either by the amount of time you'd have to give or because of any of your professional or business commitments from putting in some fairly serious time on this project?
No, I don't, Legislator Burton. In fact, I'm looking forward to it. I happen to be on a couple of I'm on the Zoning Board of Appeals for the City of Yonkers. But I'm also on the Solid Waste Commission for Westchester County. I'm one of the non-county members. There are 2 non-county members. I happen to be one of those. But quite honestly, I certainly have enough time to spend to do this. And I was on the Flood Action Task Force. I was a member of that Flood Action Task Force. And we did spend quite a bit of time actually visiting sites and doing that. So there's nothing to preclude me from spending time to do this. And quite honestly, it's time to take some action. I mean, it's time. It's time. We started doing some good things in the Flood Action Task Force, spending some of the county's money, getting some projects done, and I'd like to see that continued.
Okay. Members or would-be members or non-members who are here anyway. Ms. Shimsky.
Thank you. Where do you live?
I live in the City of Yonkers.
Okay, whereabouts?
In a home
She's
field?
Looking at the map.
Yeah, looking at the map.
Close to the Sawmill River.
Which drainage basin do you live in?
I'm in the Sawmills.
There you go. Okay.
But right next to the Sawmill River, actually, but I'm on a high side. Yeah. We live on Hoover Road, which is just off of Sawmill River Road and Odell Avenue.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, so you said home field, so you're near the bowling alley.
Right behind the bowling alley. Okay. Yes. Been there since 1973.
Okay.
We bought the house from a fellow named John Ballant. I don't know if that rings a bell enough for anybody local from Yonkers. Man. But he was a building inspector down there, and his son became a very active attorney. And his claim to fame was they studied together. He and Al Dolbello studied together in my basement. But anyway, that was a small
thing.
But we've been there since 1973, yes.
Okay.
Terrific. Mr. Noah.
Well, he's another candidate who's so well-versed in how county operates and the issues we face. And I just remember one story when I dealt with you when I was mayor of Pleasantville. You were public works commissioner with that road, Bedford Road. Bedford Road was this road with this old-fashioned concrete. And I had all these residents screaming and yelling that we shouldn't change it. It was going to be dangerous. And you were very nice. You accommodated me by building up the curb so I could explain to the residents that it was safe. But we had these people that, they wanted to keep it as an old concrete road. It didn't make sense. So I remember how willing you were to help us, raise the curb so that I could quiet the residents.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Myers.
I have nothing to add other than Tony was a terrific member of this task force and with a terrific amount of knowledge and insight and wisdom. And as I've said, it would be a shame to have to reinvent the wheel. We really moved well and far in this flood action task force, I think, and then everything changed, and I would really love to see us keep going. And thanks to Irene, maybe we're back on everybody's radar.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it takes a storm like that to get your attention.
Yeah, and before this, people, we don't have the money. But you know what? There are some things you can't afford not to take care of, I think.
That was one of the questions I was going to ask, if you don't mind me asking a question. Is that funding still there in the capital program, even though it's in the outer years?
We were told today
that
there's $20 million unappropriated, but still somewhere. I don't think it got printed up in the budget book. I put $2.5 million in. It was vetoed. We overrode the veto.
Chester.
That didn't get printed in the budget book, but we believe it's still there.
Sure.
And then we have some money that was not spent in two other flood mitigation areas, and that money that they came in less than. So there are dollars. Mm. We just need to get up and running so we can ask for money.
Okay, Mr. Blandy, this is John Testa, former mayor of Peekskill.
How are you?
Good.
Thanks.
I've run into him a few times.
Yes, you have.
You've gone to Peekskill Wastewater Treatment.
Upper Hudson River. Upper Hudson River Watershed.
Can never get away from that.
We're instead of giving people hard times, we're singing praises here, so you're more than welcome to sing back up if you want or ask some hard questions.
No, I think you probably covered everything before I got here. I know this is an excellent appointment, and I'm looking forward to supporting it.
We have more qualified people than we have slots to appoint, so we're going to interview all the people who've been put up, and then we have five slots, and we have eight names. So we're also awaiting the administration's names.
Well, that was the next question. So this was for the Board of Legislative appointments, not the county exec ones.
Right. Yeah, there are five from the county exec we haven't seen yet. And then
but we
five
were told in our last meeting that the county executive's appointments will not be coming through the appointments committee.
Oh, no, they're not. But
they're just
and
being made.
This is the Board of Legislators process. And exactly how the decision will be made is somewhat up in the air, but my guess is it will be made in some sort of open forum for selecting, but it's going to be interesting. And I think we probably have to figure that we're going to match up against the five people who were put up by the administration, but we're just going to see. I don't know.
So if I get a letter from the county executive, which I haven't at this point, I'll let you know. The other thing was the terms and the legislation.
Well, that's also not yet determined.
But one of the terms actually runs out at the end of this year.
Yeah. Well, but the neat thing about that is it runs out at the end of this year, then it begins the first of the following year, so, we've got... Always got space to work on that.
He had a day off.
January. No. Close the door at 5 and you open the door at 9.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Well, you get it.
All right, Tony, thank you very much.
Thank
we really
you
appreciate
well.
You taking
you're
the time
welcome.
To coming by and also
good
to reassure
you,
us that you're going to be
hey,
with
Austin
us.
Austin's doing well?
Austin is doing well. Irene was not too brutal to us.
Oh, great.
We were lucky.
Oh, it's a pleasure meeting you. I'll walk you out. I have another meeting I have to go to at 4:30.
Okay.
Thanks, Bridget.
Tag team.
We have a coffee.
Yes.
We got two more. Charlie Pound and Al Gatto.
Mr. Pound, I don't have a
no
resume
for
Mr. Pound. He was the only one I...
Okay.
No,
that's okay.
Other people, we dug up Tony's old resume.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, it was almost like...
It's here.
You're Charlie?
No, Tony's.
Tony's, yeah, okay. Well,
so, and you saw Valerie O'Keefe.
I knew she said she declined. Yeah, because I understand. She came up and told me personally.
Okay. And Steve Lewis is coming on the 2nd.
Yes. He told me that too. Yeah, what I did was to obviously nominate everyone who had been, well, not everyone, but the key players who had been on the Flood Action Task Force, and there were 8. So, actually, there were even more than that. I nominated them all. And then some self-selected out, like Valerie, who's not going to run for supervisor again, and I think she needs a couple of months.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, and she'll come back. I mean, but literally, this group worked so hard, and we met sometimes twice a month, starting at 8, and we'd go from 8 to 10 nonstop. And it was technical stuff. It was hard. But these particular individuals all, and they drove huge distances to get there, but they had so much knowledge, you know, about flooding and about... Mm-hmm. Charlie Pound drove, and I went with him on some of these drives. We did the entire Bronx River Reservation, looking at places where you could potentially, because the county owns the Bronx River Reservation, places where you could potentially put stormwater retention basins, all up and down. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Rob Dozier drove the bus.
Mr. Pound, how are you?
Bill Burton.
John Testa.
Nice to meet you.
Judy Myers, how are you?
Very good.
I was just telling them about our great bus trip. Remember going up and down the Bronx River?
Yeah.
And Rob Dozier was the bus driver.
Mm-hmm. Will be with us shortly. We are in the awkward position, Mr. Pound, of having more qualified nominees than we have slots. So we're interviewing, but are not going to be voting today until we interview all the potential nominees for the five Board of Legislature positions. Mm-hmm. The administration, county executive, will be supplying five names for the five county executive slots, and then we'll be doing the five Board of Legislature slots. So while I usually ask people, why in the hell you want to do this, I think we know the answer to that part. The part that I guess I'm looking to do at this point is to ask you quite honestly whether you feel you'll have the time to put into this, because I get the sense that this is going to be a rather active and even aggressive undertaking to try to get something going, whereas where there have been failure after failure after failure, not so much of planning but of execution. And
fair question.
I think it's fair to. I mean, I've heard you speak on this matter, but I'm not sure that everybody else has. So I just want to sort of throw that high hard one right at you and ask you to respond.
To put it, I guess directly, I am committed to spend the time necessary to do whatever the job requires, providing that the objectives of the new board will be to get something accomplished. Not just to sit down and do paperwork and make studies and hire a bunch of consultants to tell us when it's going to rain, where it's going to rain, and how much, not do a darn thing about it. Anybody that knows me, I'm a result-oriented person. And in my business, which I still actively run, but I've got a whole team of superintendents who have been with me about 30 years who actually run everything in the field. I just do all the paperwork and everything else. I think there is an opportunity for this new board to be very effective. But in order to do it, there are several aspects of it that I think we must recognize. And one is, and Judy will tell you this because she's heard me say it 100 times, you can't prevent a flood. You can mitigate it. You can't prevent it. You have to do things far in advance to minimize it and mitigate it. Some of the theories that have been carried out, particularly by the Corps of Engineers, is to straighten everything out and make it go faster. That cannot happen. The only way that you can mitigate flooding is by determining the total flow capacity of all of our streams at each point in the stream and detain water so that it enters the stream at the rate that the stream can take it without overflowing. That is possible to do. But it is contrary to most what everybody thinks in their mind. As an example, if you have a dam, this is the dam here, and this is the spillway, and it's filled right up to here. Right? It rains heavy. Every drop of water that comes in at this end of the lake goes over here, downstream. What you have to do is to have your dams 3 or 4 feet down, have a pipe which has the capacity to carry the normal flow of the stream. Anytime that it rains hard, it can impound and detain water up to this level. And you do that in enough places and you can hold back a tremendous amount of the water. The other thing that has to be done, and it's being done in other sections of the country, and I brought a little again.
I thought you brought your golf shoes.
No. This is a an article you might find interesting. It's about something that's been done in another section of the country. It's one that Judy has heard me talk about.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
time.
The Kirby's asphalt.
And
I love it.
Picture is worth a thousand.
Where'd you get
words.
This?
Gosh. All I have to do is open this.
This is great.
Demonstration.
Yes, a demo.
And
if we did all our roadways with that,
this particular
imagine?
Product is made of ground up tires with certain ceramic binders.
Well, this is what's at the county center parking lot, right? In one of those areas, they did that one area with, yeah.
And it just happens that it's a company here in Westchester County that has perfected this and is putting it on the market. But the concept there, anytime, and this is
the demo.
Anytime that the county can't do this alone. It must be every single municipality, and we must get legislation that any time you take a piece of open property,
he told me about that the other night,
that can absorb water and hold it for a while. If you're going to convert that into a parking lot or something, it's got to be done with this underground. You put tanks that will hold it and let it run off at a measured rate.
This is what you were telling me about the other night, right? Yeah.
Did you see?
Yeah.
How it works?
Yeah.
Now, does this have any sort of a wear surface, or does it wear down pretty quickly?
It's been tested. It is comparable to blacktop.
Isn't that amazing?
It's a pervious surface.
Yeah. It's perfect.
I only bring this as an example of the type of thing. That sitting around and passing rules, regulations, and making studies is not the way to accomplish what I think is necessary to do.
Mm-hmm. That seems to be the problem with the Corps of Engineers. They view that they get a study, they have 20 years to complete it, or more.
No, I have the studies that were made by the Corps of Engineers. They made three studies. Mm-hmm. Every one of them regurgitated what the previous study said without any innovative ways to do anything.
We're afraid of that happening again when the Mamaroneck and Sheldrake's study comes out, finally, after 30 more months or whatever.
Yeah. There's a tunnel.
Yeah. And empty neighborhoods of people.
You know, the interesting thing is that some of our streams here in Westchester, at high tide, run reverse, And so you start planning of how much the water is going to go out, and if you get a very heavy rainfall at an incoming tide, it just backs up.
We had that in Rye with Irene. The storm surge, because it was a full moon, and the storm surge, the river water didn't overflow as much as it had in 07, but the storm surge brought the Long Island Sound in farther, and so we had a much broader area that was flooded.
Converging.
Yeah.
Well, let's go around the table. Mr. Chester,
I'm thoroughly impressed. I don't have anything to say.
He snowed you with a pervious surface.
No, I'm as I say, I'm just a hands-on person. I just cannot
stand
that.
I appreciate that.
Anybody that knows me sitting around talking and filling out CEQA forms and everything else is not my bag.
You're a man of action.
Mr. Miller.
No questions, I know.
And
we've worked together on the Miller House.
Ms. Myers?
No, it is very interesting, and everyone should do this if they haven't already. Go down to the county center parking lot, the one that's over to the right of the building, and that was done...
Across the street from the building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. The one you have to pay for.
Yeah.
It's worth paying, because that was done as a demonstration project. If the thing had to be redone anyway, so they did it as a demonstration project, to show all the different types of things you could do. And one of the areas is the pervious asphalt. There's a rain garden. Yeah. There's the swales.
Retention basin.
Basin. It's magnificent.
The bike trail goes through there.
Oh, yeah.
And several pipelines.
And what we should do is bring all of our municipal leaders over there to say, here's what you can tell your
there's a program.
Homeowners to do.
Or make a disc and send it to them.
Yeah, that's probably easier.
Fair enough.
But There's other things that I think we have to look at. The work that's being done just south of the county center along the Bronx River Parkway, it's a Corps of Engineers project there, is beautification, straightening it out, putting huge boulders on the to prevent erosion. It's not doing one single thing to prevent flooding on the Main Street Bridge. Not a thing. But it's very simple. Many years ago, when all the parkways were still under my jurisdiction, down at Oak Street on the Bronx River Parkway, and this was long before it was all the major improvements, we had a major flooding problem there all the time. And all we did, and the reason that it was flooding, is that when they built the parkways, instead of raising the cross streets high, they dipped the parkway under every one of the streets. If you just remember it, on the Main Street, under as you go down into Hartsdale, every time you come to a crossroad, down it goes, all right? That's what floods out. The reason that it floods out is that as long as the river is at this elevation, the parkway is here and there's a drain pipe that goes from here into the river. And when the river rises, the water comes back up and actually floods the area under there. That's what's happening at the Bronx River at the Main Street. All you have to do is to put a flap valve on the end of that, which will stop it from backing up, and you put in a very small pumping station. Not a thing, big thing at all. And it pumps
for wastewater, too, and for stormwater.
Absolutely.
Already, with the wastewater treatment plants.
But instead of going through all of this machinations and everything else, there are several things that can be done almost immediately and for relatively small amounts of money.
And does the Corps have to have a say on any of that?
Well, you know, the Corps of Engineers is a very unusual law. They have jurisdiction over all navigable waters and all waters tributary to navigable waters.
That's what gives them a lot of expansive
jurisdiction. And my favorite example is the headwaters of the Hudson River is at Lake Tear in the Clouds on the top of Mount Marcy. Yeah. Where the stream comes out, I can straddle. If I wanted to clean out that little stream about three feet wide, the Corps of Engineers has jurisdiction.
Because that's a navigable water.
That's a tributary.
And the bureaucracy is just unbelievable.
So doing what you suggested may very well have to be filtered through the Corps.
It's, you know.
But you might as well get started. So, fair enough.
But,
and since they're here working anyway, I mean, we do have direct contact now a lot with, like, Jody McDonald and all. They're here. They're doing Mamaroneck. They're doing that area.
Well, they
they're
have
easy
an institutional
to get to.
Self-preservation drive.
True.
Second
but they,
to none. So.
Even they've said, we'll say yes to things.
Yeah, in 3 years. But
no, they really will, I think.
Well, but that's, I don't mean to intrude on that. But it's...
Yeah.
Look, you've got a guy here who's always impressed me as someone who wants to get it done, and preferably now rather than later. We've got to, if we're going to do this, we might as well get it done now. Let's get started in our lifetimes rather than somebody else's. So. I think we've done well. I really appreciate your demonstration.
don't forget to sign.
What's the name of the company that makes that? What's the name of the company?
Alfredo Nurseries. It's a branch of Alfredo. They're located up in on Route 128 between Armonk and Mount Kisco.
Alfredo.
Alfredo's, yeah.
They make pasta.
Yeah. New fettuccine, I think.
But, yeah.
Thanks very much.
Now,
get a sample from my class.
If you did your driveway in this,
cool.
which would be wonderful, but I can hear a lot of homeowners saying, but the grass will grow right up through all of these little
trees.
And then if you put Roundup on it, that goes right into your water, which you wouldn't want. What do you do about vegetation growing through this?
I can't answer that because I haven't seen a demonstration. I mean, an installation of it where grass has been.
I guess
a problem.
Yeah.
If you got enough traffic.
I wonder how sports could be. If you did like.
Go find out.
Basketball court outside.
Well, you know, the artificial
driveways of houses.
It's so abrasive that you wouldn't want to
put
your feet on it or anything like that.
But, you know what, the artificial turf that, because I know in my district we've done a couple
of
fields now. Well, what we've done is done a retention basin underneath, and then we've used the artificial turf, which has great drainage, and it too is made out of the tires. And now what they've made, this blew me away, you can get colored
tiny little pellets of the mm-hmm. tires that is then spread over the whole thing, so it looks like it makes it look like even more grass, and it's all tires. But it drains. People were we had soccer going on in our fields the day after Irene. It was amazing.
That's pretty good.
Charlie, thank you very much.
The only thing you don't want to eat.
Nice to meet you.
You don't want to eat it.
Well, that you hear from residents. What if my child ingests it? Tell him not to.
What if they breathe?
Don't eat asphalt.
Do not eat. You know what? Here, let me empty this.
So I agree.
There's a water fountain here.
Thanks for bringing that in.
Alfredo and
Armonk.
An Armonk? Alfredo's this?
Pardon?
Alfredo is an Armonk?
Yeah. Just between Armonk and Mount Kisco on Route 128 going up.
Yeah.
It'd be Alfredo Asphalt or Alfredo.
I'm not sure what name they've given to it. It's
looks like a veggie burger.
Yeah, it does.
Little hard on the teeth.
Right. Oh, put a veggie burger in your yard.
Pave your yard with veggie burger.
Yeah.
There we go.
See how they make it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There we go.
Take care of you.
Yeah. Bye.
Thank you. See you later.
Yeah. So long.
I used to work in advertising on Procter & Gamble. And we basically could not do a single commercial without having a demo in it. Mm-hmm. And it was the way all commercials for Procter & Gamble were structured. And it was exactly what Charlie, I mean, this was so perfect because that's all of our commercials had to be, you know, here's with zest, here's without zest, here's with bounce, here's without bounce, here's with dawn, here's without dawn. And, you know, here's how it works. And always have to have a demo. But they are impactful, man. You see something like that and it just clicks in your brain.
Yep, makes you think. It's always good.
Do you have any?
This is going to be a bear.
Do they have five people?
I have no idea. I've had absolutely no conversations about
it. Your job, your mission, should you accept it, is a little reconnaissance.
Just take a couple of the people you meet here and suggest them upstairs.
Oh, yeah. That's another idea. They were all from prior to Spandau.
Yeah.
Charlie
really
was the head
what
of
has to be
Parks and Rec.
People with the knowledge.
Yes.
You don't need a learning curve on this one.
No, but
Charlie Pound was commissioner of Parks and Rec. Tony Landy was first.
Yeah,
he was DPW, and then he was DEF. I don't think we could find Ralph Butler. I think we tried. He had a lot of knowledge, but Tony does too. I mean, they both had worked together.
No, I think. If you're,
Jerry
if you're
Mulligan,
trying to,
I think, didn't want
to
do anything.
Yeah, if you're trying to get some people into the queue from the administration, you don't want to be taking guys from the Spano administration. But
no, but a lot
but
of
Tony
these people predated.
And Peter, and Charlie all come from at least the O'Rourke era.
Absolutely.
And, so,
and they are true.
You know, you're not poking a stick in somebody's arm
right,
about this.
Right, true professionals.
Yeah. Well, it's worth a shot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there we are.
Hello.
The only guy who shows up without a tie. Nice to see you. How are you?
John Testa.
Fine out, guys.
Oh, okay.
Hello. How are you? Good to see you.
Again, I am.
Okay.
Be careful. This
mystery guest number four signs in.
Wet. Because Charlie Pound showed us how permeable asphalt works.
Pervious asphalt.
Pervious.
Yeah. Did it go through the glass here?
Practically.
No, the glass wasn't from here.
No. The glass ponds.
Anyway, you want to sign in for us? Now, we're in the awkward situation of having more applicants for the board appointments than there are seats. And so we're interviewing without voting. And then we don't even know who's going to go into what... length of term, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 1 year. So it's going to be slightly awkward, but what we're doing right now is just talking to everybody. So I get to ask the question, which is, I think, a fair question. Given the job you've got now, would you be able to put in substantial time, should it be required?
Well, substantial?
For this job.
Substantial, the answer would be no. And I, you know, how substantial are you talking about?
I don't know.
I couldn't, you know. I could give a number of hours a month, mm-hmm. but if you're talking about substantial time being a certain number of hours a day, mm-hmm. I don't think it's going
to
work.
Yeah, out. I suspect the answer to that is no, absolutely. But I don't know the answer to that. What I'm trying to do is get a sense of, because I know you from a number of committees, and I know the amount of time you've got, and I know the amount of time you have to put in to your manager's job. This is going to be an interesting one, because I have no idea how much ability this committee is going to have to affect the direction that the county goes. It may be that it's going to be a leadership committee rather than a push committee, or it may be something that gets stomped on. We don't know.
I think it's going to have to evolve based on the kind of people you put on there, which will be mm-hmm. very important. The more grasp and more understanding that these 12 people have, mm-hmm. I think their role will just unfold pretty naturally. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, the elected officials won't have to worry about it. That will come to you when it gets to your point in a very nicely tied ribbon and say, here it is, and here's why it is, based on the law. But just to say, I'm finished with the... with the property assessment thing.
You are?
We're in a lull. We're to the point now where, you know where it broke off? We had a lot of support. Most of the communities, the county was really good and behind it, the committee. And it, over the summer it broke down, and it's probably because of me, and also the Bill Mooney. We got together four or five times. What we wanted to do is to get the Westchester County Association on board with the so-called assessment reforms and reassessment. And we had two or three meetings, and they didn't go anywhere. They got bogged down in technical aspects. We had some of the wrong people there representing public side, some of the wrong people representing the corporate side and business community side. So it slowed down, and so we let it go. And the deal is to try to get it going now, or at least meeting with that business community again to see whether, with the right people in the room, staying here at the policy level and not at the technical level where it broke down, whether we can get them on board for something. They understand the aspects of the report, and they're concerned about five or six items, and we were trying to be able to talk through those items. And
so the money you were talking about was the WCA money, not the Billy Jr. money.
About
Young Bill.
Senior.
It was Bill.
Senior.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, WCA.
No, not Junior, Senior.
Yeah.
He was the guy that we wanted on board, and I found out that, he on some issues listens very closely to his governing board. You know, he's on some issues he cannot be up front. He cannot lead the way. He's got to make sure the folks are behind him. So he's being very careful here. But we had it all planned and it was going to work. We even had a stalking horse out there with legislator Alvin Annie. He was coming in with the guns shooting and the whips.
Surprise, surprise.
Yes.
And so it worked out because we talked. It worked out where the business community wanted to look at our thing and make our thing work. And I talked to Tom about it. And he says, geez, if you can get your stuff going, he says, that's a home run. He's just trying to keep the heat on the business community because there's some aspects there of this wonderful report, I thought it was, that they had a problem with. And the one thing they had a problem with, I mean, you're a local, we're all local officials, you have to scratch your head over this, but you have to understand it. And one thing that we wanted to build in some local decision making on this thing, either every year after you adopted, a community adopted a budget, is to make a decision on certain things. And one of the decisions we wanted while during the budget process, they would adopt for that year they would have to cite a factor, classification factor, and decide whether it would be one, which would be everybody's treated equally, or whether it would be some other thing. And each year, and you know, that's kind of a pretty decent practice, and it's done in Massachusetts because I was there for a few years. And it forces each board every year to decide whether they want to adopt different factors for class, for different classes. And the thing that we talked about, and it's not over yet, was we wanted to establish four classes under the Classification Act, not just two, as you have now under the homesteading provision. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the residential and commercial, essentially. We wanted to establish four, and it would have been residential, it would have been a commercial, it would have been condominiums, but not co-ops. Co-ops would be still part of the residential, and it would be utilities. And the reason for the utility thing was quite amazing, because you know the utility values and assessments are set on an annual basis.
Yes.
By Albany, by the state of New York, and you know, they're sometimes far from even being close to accurate. So we wanted to give a local government body the opportunity to vary its tax rates. That's probably one of the chips that may have been thrown away, but I was hoping not, because it would have been great if I could tax utilities in my community at a little different level.
Well, didn't Con Ed do a huge cert at one point for all of the property taken up by their telephone poles?
They may have.
Yeah, I think they did, and it was humongous.
But the thing about assessment is you don't want to argue about the valuation. And from my perspective, as I've been doing this so many years, that's the only reason why we value properties, for one reason. To tax, otherwise it makes no sense. What they want to argue about is the taxes. They can argue from now until the cow comes home. About the taxes. But one thing we don't want to argue about is your assessment. And that's your value. Now, if you have a problem with the value, of course, we'll try to be as close to perfect as possible. But the value of your property is one thing, and the amount of taxes you pay on is another. And that should be up to the governing body as to the amount of taxes you pay on it through a differing tax rates. And that's where the so-called classification plan comes in, which expanded to homesteading. That's all it did. Now, right now, you can do homesteading only if you reassess your property. You're going to like to do homesteading, which is different tax rates for commercial and residential. Some communities must do that. I mean, geez, White Plains has to. My community, I don't think, would ever do that because we have 95%. Residential.
That's all.
97%. Mm-hmm. So it's not a factor in our community. And it's not a factor in half to two-thirds of the communities. Yeah. Well, it's a factor in some communities.
Okay. Mr. Testa.
I have no questions.
Mr. Noah. Mr. Noah's not here. Ms. Meyer.
Yeah. Questions, no, but I would like to note for the record that Mr. Gatta was immensely, immensely helpful with the stormwater management legislation and getting us, bridging us, pardon the pun, between the Flood Action Task Force and where we are now. And that was really, I think, a really important thing that we really needed his expertise for and would continue to do so moving forward. Especially with regards to the other sort of advisory groups that would come into play, such as Liswick.
Oh, yeah.
The Sawmill River is starting an advisory board. I mean, I think we will see, hopefully, the development of more advisory boards as more and more people are getting flooded and realizing the importance of looking at things by the major drainage basins and not just by municipality.
That was the hope of the legislation, because the way the legislation was drafted, we kind of encourage the creation of these advisory boards on a watershed basis.
Right.
That's one of the criteria. You know.
Right.
If you have one of those, if you know, once it gets down the line, your applications will be weighted a little heavier.
Yeah.
But it's a good piece of legislation.
It is. Well, thanks to you.
It creates a partnership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really great. Needed.
Instead of us screaming at you for money and you screaming at us that we're not doing our job with zoning, stormwater management, construction sites, et cetera.
That's amazing.
Maintenance. You know, we don't clean our pipes.
Now,
to be eligible, we have to do all these things, which is what I think everyone up here wants.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a good piece of legislation. Yeah. Just got to make it work now.
Right.
Okay, Mr. Nona was here, and now Mr. Nona is gone again. So, Al, thank you very much
for
coming.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for being willing to put the time in.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hope I didn't offend you.
No, you didn't offend anybody. No, it's just John back and forth.
He's always attached to it.
Can't get him.
I'll see you.
The 27th. Do I have to talk to you about...
No, I'm still waiting for a response on if everybody's getting the badges.
We have minutes.
I have to ask Kenton.
But don't worry about the time on things. I could find time.
Thank you, Al.
Okay?
I appreciate it.
Thank you. See you later.
Okay. Yeah, you were.
Do we have minutes?
Yes, we do. Oh. May I have a motion?
Where are we?
Of August 15th. You were present.
I was present. Yeah, let me just see what you're doing here. Sign the committees.
Judy?
I have to read. I can't make a motion for something without reading it. Come on.
Hell.
Okay. I move the minutes of Monday, August 15th.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you very much. We have a motion to adjourn.
Adjourn. Motion.
Moved by Mr. Nona. Mr. Tessa. Second by Mr. Nona. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you very much. We are adjourned.
You got it.
I got it.
Melanie, can I leave mine in here? And then when we get it next week, we'll have all of them together?
Sure.
Thank you.
I'll be happy. Okay.